verse 41 and 42. What delights God? Number one, people studying his word together in scripture and in song. We've already read the written word. We've sung the sung word. What delights God? Number one, studying his word together in scripture and song. Number two, people valuing time with the family of God. So then those who received his word, Into verse 42, they continually devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching, that's studying his word, and to fellowship, people valuing time with the family of God. To the breaking of bread refers to the Lord's Supper, communion, and by application, inference, baptism. We'll talk about those in just a moment. Number three, what delights God is people publicly declaring their Christ connection, which is what baptism and communion are all about. We're going to focus on those this morning. And number four, you might need to flip to the other side of the outline to the very end. Number four, what delights God? People connecting into God's power together. Praying. Verse 42, continually devoting themselves to the apostles' teaching, studying his word. Continually devoting themselves to fellowship, valuing time with the family of God. Continually devoting themselves to the breaking of bread, that's publicly declaring our Christ connection. Number four, continually devoting themselves to prayer. People connecting into God's power together. Well, we really want to focus on the third delight of God this morning as we come to the communion table and observe the Lord's Supper together. People publicly declaring their Christ connection. We're talking about baptism, water baptism. There is a spirit baptism that takes place at the moment of our conversion. We're baptized into the body of Christ. Here we're talking about and emphasizing, stressing water baptism. As you look at water baptism, as we think of water baptism, as we look at our outline, number one, this is God's idea. Baptism is God's idea. And we need to remember that all of God's ideas, 100% perfect, 100% non-negotiable. You look, as we've looked for a while now at the life of Jesus Christ, we remember that Jesus was baptized. He was baptized in public. If Jesus did it, that tells me something. Take note, this is important. If Jesus did it, it's important. Important for me to think about and follow. Baptism is a picture. It is a picture of the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus Christ. It is my privilege and my position to baptize many people as I place them under the water. It is a picture of Christ dying. As they are under the water for just a moment, it is a picture for us of Christ being in the tomb for those 3 days. As they are brought back up out of the water, it is a picture of the resurrection of Jesus Christ. Baptism is a picture of the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus Christ. The act of baptism does not save anyone. We see in Scripture they received the word and then they were baptized. Baptism doesn't save anyone. It doesn't seal anyone. I've had church leaders in my past say, "Pastor, we need to get kids baptized as fast as we can. Seal their decision." Baptism seals no decision. The decision is made, the commitment is made, the reality is there. The reality of Scripture, once in one moment eternally dead, in another moment eternally alive for all eternity, forever, because of the commitment of Jesus Christ. Baptism does not save anyone. There is a perspective out there, and I try and be really careful in what I say up here. They are not raised into a new life because of what is happening in the water. There is already new life there. The person being baptized is already regenerated. They're already saved. They're already born again. What does that mean, Pastor? What does that mean, Jim, to be born again, to be saved, to regenerate? We need to admit that we're a sinner. We're not perfect. And when we come and when we interact with a holy God, as good as we are, as bad as we may not be, we are never good enough, holy enough, to be in the presence of God. Our sin separates us from that holy God. And there is nothing we can do ourselves. All have sinned, have fallen short of the glory of God. The wages of sin is eternal death. But the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ. While we were still sinners, Christ died for us. And the beauty of the gospel, when I admit that I'm a sinner, when I believe in my heart that Jesus truly is God the Son, and what he did on the cross makes an eternal difference in my life, and receive that gift of salvation, I am no longer spiritually dead. I am spiritually alive forever. That is what's being saved. That is what it means to be born again, regenerated, a number of words that are taught and used in the New Testament. That is how one gets saved. So as we baptize people, we want to make sure they understand, they grasp the concept of salvation. It's why we don't baptize infants. It's why we don't baptize little children. They need to be old enough to understand, mature enough to understand the demands of discipleship. When I started off in ministry, our senior pastor had a policy. He wouldn't baptize children under the age of 9. He wanted to make sure they understood what it truly meant to be saved. And there was some great wisdom there. Jesus was baptized. That tells us it's important. Baptism is clearly taught as a picture of the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus Christ. And in Scripture, we are commanded as followers of Jesus to be baptized as a public declaration of faith in Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior. And baptism is a prime responsibility given to local churches. As someone is there in the waters of baptism, there is that public testimony, I'm a Christ follower. There is the public declaration, my life belongs to Jesus. I'm a Christ follower. My life belongs to Jesus. Testimony, declaration. Before we move any further, the application jumps out for each and every one of us. What's our testimony? What is our declaration? For you right now, where you're seated here, listening in through another venue, let me ask you, it's a yes, a no question in a sense. To begin with, are you a follower of Jesus Christ? It means the same as born again, saved, regenerate? Are you a follower of Jesus Christ? Yes? No. Second of all, yes? No. My life belongs to Jesus. Yes? Not yet. That not yet is a no. Let's build on it. What does Jesus value? What is Jesus delighted in? People publicly declaring their Christ connection. Through water baptism, public water baptism. Number two, communion. 1 Corinthians chapter 11. 1 Corinthians chapter 11. We drop in around verse 23. Paul, in speaking, says, I received from the Lord what I received, I'm delivering to you, that the Lord Jesus, the night that he was betrayed, we're in the Gospel of Mark, we're up to chapter 13, we're in the Passion Week of Jesus. In just several more studies together, we will be in the upper room with Christ, his disciples, the last Passover, the first communion. On that night, while Jesus is being betrayed, he took bread, he gave thanks, he broke it. He said, this is my body, which is for you. Do this in remembrance of me. Eat the bread, drink the cup, remembering who I am and what I'm about to do. While they looked forward, not understanding everything, we look back, have the beauty of the complete Word of God. We remember that communion and baptism are pictures. Communion, this is God's idea. And God's idea, 100% perfect, 100% non-negotiable. Jesus did this. He was baptized. He participated in the Passover celebrations. He finished one chapter of it, begins another as the complete picture. Jesus completes the Passover picture as the perfect lamb, the final lamb. Again, it's a picture of the life, the death, and the life today of Jesus Christ, our Messiah. He actually lived. He actually died. He actually lives today. The perfect Passover lamb, the final Passover lamb. In your outline, you will see a number of 100% and a few blanks there. I will admit to you, I was a little ambitious, hopeful, and I gave you itty-bitty blanks. You might have to think and write itty-bitty or just ignore my blanks and add a little more of your line there. But don't miss these vital truths. I encourage you to write them down. The picture of the life, death, life of Jesus Christ, the Messiah, number one. 100% God, 100% man. Jesus Christ is the God-man. And today, as we have sung and as we are studying, we are focused on the God-man, Jesus Christ, the perfect Passover lamb who can identify with us as a human being. He understands our frailties. He understands the challenges of life. But he is not simply a human being. He's fully God, and he's never left, never given up his deity at any time. In the baptism, in the picture of communion, excuse me, we need to remember this truth. Jesus Christ is 100% God, 100% man. Two, his death was 100% effective. It was a 100% effective, sacrificial death. He took our place on the cross. He was the perfect substitute. And his death was 100% effective for those who believe. Sufficient for all, efficient for all who believe. You've got to respond. And if you don't, a terrible miss for anyone who says no to God. It is 100% effective as a sacrificial death for those who believe. It's 100% a victorious resurrection. 100% victorious resurrection. And we put all those together. It reminds me that the life, the death, the life of Jesus Christ cements for me, cements for all of us, that he is the 100% authority in my life. 100% authority now, and as we'll see in our study in Mark in chapter 13, 100% authority forever. Baptism, God's idea. Communion, God's idea. A picture, both pictures of the life, death, new life of Jesus Christ in Jesus Christ. Jesus commands his followers to celebrate the Lord's Supper together as a public affirmation of their individual and, we might say, collective faith in Jesus Christ as Lord. In 1 Corinthians 11, verse 23, do this. In verse 25, do this. Do this, do this, do this. Those are commands. In the language, in the words that he chose, in the tenses he chose, commands, not optional. Again, God's ideas are perfect. They're not optional. It's a command for us. And it is a prime responsibility given to local churches. And here today, we are simply in our obedience being ordinary. This is what God expects for us. So as we come to the communion table, there are a number of declarations, in a sense, that are our testimony. They connect, they correlate with communion, and let me just run through those again and add a little more to it. Number one, when we come to the Lord's Supper and participate, we are declaring, I am a Christ follower. I am a Christ follower. As often as you drink this and eat this, participate, we are proclaiming the Lord's death until he comes. So let me ask you a question again. Are you a follower of Jesus? Number two, it is the testimony coming out of verse 24 and verse 25. And all of the teachings of Paul's epistles, it's our testimony that we have one life. I only have one life, and that life belongs to Jesus. And it all belongs to Jesus. In fact, one of the responsibilities and intentions of the Lord's Supper when we come to communion is to do inventory, or to let the Holy Spirit do inventory in our life, revolved around this question: if it all belongs to Jesus, what might I be holding back right now? What might I be hiding? Which speaks to the foolish and the forgetful aspect. And we're all naturally fooled and forgetful at times. So if we celebrate communion on a regular basis, we deal with things and we move forward. I only have one life and it belongs to Jesus. Is that your testimony, declaration in this moment? Number three, what a great way to end. What a great way to begin this week. In communion, we come to grips that today is a fresh, clean start in my Jesus journey. Fresh, clean restart. Jim, how do I get a start with Jesus? Maybe for some of us, it's the first time start. Romans 10, 9 and 10. If we confess with our mouth that Jesus is Lord, believe in our heart that God raised him from the dead, we will be saved. For some of us, it's time to start. First time start. God, be merciful to me, a sinner. I receive your gift of salvation that I so desperately need. And you can do that right now, in this moment. Start your Jesus journey. Some of us, like me, I've been at this for a few decades. I don't need the first start, but I need the daily restart. And every day I need a fresh, clean start in my Jesus journey. Because I tend to forget. And at times, I get fooled. And Jesus and his word give me the help I need to restart with Jesus today. 1 John 1:9, written for us Christians. When we confess our sin, he is faithful and just to forgive our sin and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. So as we come to the communion table, we come restarted. Whatever your past, deal with it and move forward. Deal with it on God's terms and move forward in the joy of your salvation. It's not a matter of, oh man, I got fooled and nobody else in that church is fooled. I forgot and nobody else in that church is forgetful. They're all perfect. Every day, every week, we all get fooled, we all forget, and we all need a fresh, clean start. Thank God for his grace. Thank God for his mercy. So, how about you? Yes or no? I'm embracing a fresh, clean start with Jesus right now. Well, now we know. We know what God values as important: studying his word together in scripture and song. Now we know what God values as important: us valuing time with the family of God. Now we know what God thinks is important: publicly declaring our Christ connection. Which, so if you haven't been baptized, here's your invitation to move forward, to join many others in publicly declaring our Christ connection, to come to the communion table with a clean heart, with a fresh start. And now we know what God values, though we've barely touched on it this morning, prayer, connecting into God's power together. It's a responsibility of a church. Now we know that God is delighted when we are simply, continually obedient, simply, continually ordinary. Let's come to the communion table. I invite you to just take a moment before our music starts. Maybe shut out the rest of the world, including me, by just bowing your head, maybe closing your eyes, just disconnecting from everything except the Spirit of God. Invite him to do the spiritual inventory. When we do that, it is always a tad painful. But the pain serves a purpose. To bring to us restoration and God's blessing. Start your Jesus journey. Restart your Jesus journey. Do what we're called to do. Confess our sins. Receive his forgiveness. And make our declaration. Father, restore to us the joy of our salvation today. Thank you as we look back on the last week, the last month, even the last year, for the continual reminders of your faithfulness, the continual expressions of your mercy, the repeated demonstrations of your compassion. While we often fail and even forget, you never fail and you never forget, and that gives us hope. It gives us peace. It gives us joy in taking in the next breath that you give us. As we come to your table this morning, we thank you for your love demonstrated through Jesus Christ. We thank you that we can know him as Lord and Savior. We thank you for the hope and the reality that will last for all eternity. It is in the name of Jesus we pray, we live, and we worship. Amen.